This is episode number 45 with Sean Stevenson.
Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin.
Hey, what is up, everyone? Thanks so much for tuning in today. And I'm back in Ohio for a few days, hanging out with the family and catching up with all my little nephews and nieces. And I'm very excited about this episode to share with you because I got to sit down with my good friend Sean Stevenson a couple of weeks ago in the studio in LA and just had an amazing conversation about how to leave people breathless. Not only on a stage or during a presentation, but also just in life, in relationships, in business conversations, with your family, with your friends, how to leave people breathless. And it's different probably than what you think. It's not about some tactics or some strategies for hypnotizing people, you know, on stage or whatever like that, but really about dropping into vulnerability and courageous vulnerability. So we're going to be diving into that today. Very excited. We'll be talking about the value in facing and persevering through fear, about your infinite being, the realities of unconditional love and what unconditional love really is, how to leave anyone breathless, obviously, and secrets to the courageous vulnerability inside of you, and a whole lot more things. Sean taps into a lot of great things, some amazing stories. And for those that don't know who Sean Stevenson is, he is an amazing individual and was born with a disease called brittle bone disease. And he broke more than 200 bones in his lifetime. I think by the age of like 18 or something crazy like that, and has gone through excruciating pain, both physically and emotionally because of this. And it's amazing to see what he's created in his life based on this experience. So with that, guys, let's jump in and dive into today's episode with the one and only Sean Stevenson.
I don't know about you, but when around 3 p.m. hits, I find myself craving the right refreshment to get me through that mid-afternoon slump. New Pure Leaf Zero Sugar Sweet Iced Tea is full-flavored sweet tea, but without the sugar and the calories. It might take several bottles for you to believe that a delicious sweet tea can really have zero sugar and zero calories. But you know what they say, life is full of surprises. Or in this case, full of flavor. New Pure Leaf Zero Sugar Sweet Iced Tea. Try it to believe it. For 20% off your next 12-pack, head to Amazon and use promo code 20PureLeaf. That's promo code 20PureLeaf for 20% off. We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card, you call the number for help and can't get a hold of anyone if you only had a Discover card. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Okay, quick math. The less your business depends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite, and you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/greatness. netsuite.com/greatness. Again, head to netsuite.com/greatness.
is up, everyone? Thanks again for tuning back into the School of Greatness. Got my good friend Sean Stevenson in the house.
What's up, brother, man?
Good to see you, man. You're never in LA, so it's perfect timing.
You called me up and you're like, hey, you're gonna ever be in LA? I'm like, how about tomorrow? made you feel special, but it had nothing to do with you.
I love it. And now I've known Sean for a couple years now. I think we met at Summit at Sea.
Yep.
Which was 2010. Is that right?
Wow. Yeah.
So 3 years, yep. Probably 3.5 years. And we just got reconnected a couple months ago in Utah on the mountain.
The bromance has grown.
Grows. It continues to grow. And for those that don't know Sean Stevenson, really tune in to this and open up your hearts, because this is a man with a huge heart that has inspired the world with his story. And do you want to tell a little bit about your story, your background, just in a brief moment?
Sure. So hopefully we'll get into much larger things than my story, because I'm just an example. I don't have it all together yet by any means. But my story starts off very modestly. I was born into a container called osteogenesis imperfecta. It's a rare brittle bones disorder. And with this condition, my parents were told that I would be dead within the first 24 hours of my life. Mm. What's funny is 34 years later, all those doctors are dead, and I'm the only doctor remaining. So you don't always want to believe the experts. They don't know everything. But with this condition, my bones were extremely fragile as a child. And by the time I was 18, I'd fractured over 200 times. So something as simple as sneezing could break ribs. Coughing too hard could break a collarbone. Putting on pants too quickly, I could break a tibia, fibula, or femur, all the bones in the leg. And, you know, like I said, 18 years old, that I'd already fractured 200 times.
200 bones.
200 times. 200 so we times. Have about 215 bones, depending on who you ask, but about 215 bones in the body. And wow. 200 times, mostly the long bones. So arms, legs, ribs, not so much with like the shorter, like fingers I never broke, fortunately, maybe once or twice. But the long bones would just continue to break.
Wow.
As they were growing, as they were just going through the stresses of life. And so, you know, I'm about, it also affects the growth of the bones. So I'm obviously, for those that can't see me right now, I'm only about 3 feet tall. So it affects my height, and it also affects my mobility. I use a wheelchair for physical mobility because my legs can't support the weight of my trunk, my body. And so with this, you know, I've dealt with more than just physical pain. I had many surgeries. I had just the discrimination of people really kind of lowering the bar for me, thinking that, you know, what can he really offer us?
Right.
You know, and bringing out the attitude of, you know, well, what is Sean, what can Sean do for me? I mean, I think I can help Sean because he's disabled, but can Sean really help me? And so overcoming that and really getting to the point in this lifetime where I realized that this container, I feel like I chose it. I don't think that this was, like scientists would say, like some genetic mutation as an accident, freak incident. It was something that I think I was spiritually in alignment with to be able to do what I do and say what I say. Because, you know, you take a guy like yourself, Lewis, and there's so many things that people make assumptions about you,
right.
You know, by your size, by your physique and everything. And so that in some ways is a disadvantage to you. People don't know the depths of your soul and the depths of your mind and the depths of your capabilities because they just assume that you're a jock, you know? And so you and I have probably a lot more in common than we would imagine.
That's true. I believe it. It's true. Amazing. 200 fractures. Which bone fractured the most?
Gosh, probably ribs, because every time I would sneeze, I would fracture.
Oh my gosh. That's the most painful thing in the world.
Yeah, because you're breathing. I mean, you've probably injured them before.
I've broken six.
Yeah.
It's the worst pain ever.
No, the worst pain ever is having a steel rod pulled from your bone marrow while you're awake.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it feels like your leg's being turned in, inside out by a massive evil vacuum. That's the worst pain I've ever had. That or I had a infection in my jaw this year that I had to have some of my molars removed, and they couldn't get the Novocaine to the roots. And so I was awake for that, and that was I wouldn't wish that on, like, my worst enemies.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that was just evil. But you know what? What's cool about pain, and maybe this is, like, the athlete in me that I'm not even aware of, but what's cool about pain is once you come out the other side of it, you feel more like a badass.
Yeah, you do.
Like, when people, like, try to intimidate you or tell you that something's not possible, you're like, dude, I had a steel rod pulled my legs. I've had teeth ripped out of my face. I've had, you know, numerous ribs shattered. I've had, you know, my tailbone. I probably broke my tailbone 5 or 6 times in my life. And what sucks about a tailbone fracture is to heal properly, you have to lay on your stomach for about 6 weeks. And so it just really sucks because you live your life with your face about an inch off the ground. And, you know, you just, what's great about pain, Lewis, maybe you would agree or disagree, and I don't know, is that if you survive it, it really makes you strong.
So much stronger. So much stronger.
And it's not to say I try to invite it, you know, because it's not fun, but when it shows up, you know, whether it's physical or emotional or spiritual, financial, I mean, any kind of pain, you survive it. You know, it's going to add a layer of strength to you, a layer of courage.
I feel like we're very similar in a lot of ways because we've both dealt with a lot of pain.
Oh.
And I would say I feel even stronger by going through a lot of the emotional and mental pain that I've been through my entire life. And I'm assuming that
emotional pain is way harder to deal with than physical, because physical, you can kind of float out of your body, and you can do drugs, and you can do this, you can do that. You can do all these techniques to try to isolate the incident in your body away from the rest of your psyche. Mm. But when you have emotional pain that's wrapped in, like, heartache, you know, like when your heart feels hurt because of a betrayal or of a love, you know, that was lost, or a unrequited love, that kind of stuff, you'll just be going through your day and you're doing everything you can to get around it. But the best way to get over it is to go through it.
Yeah.
You know? So that's the shit that's not easy. And the body is something you grow to get used to. I mean, no pain that I went through was ever fun.
Yeah.
You know, I never was like, oh, okay, I remember this, you know, arm fracture, what it feels like. I know how to handle it. It would hurt just as much each time.
Mm.
So, but in some ways, I feel like I have a tremendous amount of compassion and patience, because with every injury you have, you also have healing. So I probably have more healing experience than most people I've ever met, which is powerful, because if you can extrapolate what it takes to heal into, and then decipher the little nuances to share with the world, that's worth a lot of money, energy, and resource value to people.
Now, what do you think is the hard? Why do you think so many people have a hard time healing?
Because they stay ego, in their ego. They want to
be right.
They want to be right. They want to control it. They want to. They're attached to being healed. And healing doesn't work that way. Healing comes from surrender.
Mm.
You're like, the most pain I've ever had is when I'm trying not to be in pain. It sounds counterintuitive, but when you surrender and you're just like, you know what? What's this teaching me? What's this lesson? What's this purpose here? And like when you go into pain with the mentality of, what do you got for me? Then you get rid of the self-pity. I think the worst part about pain, whether it's emotional or physical, is when you feel sorry for yourself. And when you feel sorry for yourself, it just makes it worse. It's like struggling. It's like quicksand. The more you feel sorry for yourself, the more you're just grappling, and just the deeper you go.
Yeah.
When you finally go, wow, I've had enough self-pity for the day. I'm going to suck it up and have a good life, and I'm going to do the best I can with what I got right now. You know, the pain seems to subside. Mm. The healing begins to take effect. But as long as you're feeling sorry for yourself, you're hosed.
I would agree. Because whenever I'd get injured in football or any sports, if I tried to like rush it or try to like fix it quickly, it would just continue to be painful.
Yeah.
But when it came from a place of, okay, surrender, where's the lesson here?
What can I learn? And that's hard for a big guy
like you,
you know, who probably feels like a gladiator when you feel good. You know, when you look like a titan and feel like a titan, and then you're brought to your knees, the identity crisis
that
happens.
Gosh.
You know, I mean, everybody expects me to be weak. They don't expect you to be weak.
Right.
And so you have a whole set of challenges that I haven't had to face.
Yeah. It was very humbling when I got injured and had to retire playing football, going from playing in front of 20,000 people, suiting up, wearing this armor, literally, and then not being able to play anymore and being like, what do I do with the rest of my life?
Well, you have the identity issue of like, if I'm not an athlete, what am I?
Exactly.
And that's scary.
Who am I?
It's like I'll be counseling moms or dads who their baby died, their child died. And if they're not a parent, then what are they? You know, that's scary. And, you know, or you're a business owner and then your business collapse. And then now are you still a business owner if you lost your business? Or, you know, there's all these things where somebody's married and then they get divorced. And then they're like, who am I without my spouse? Like, who am I without my child? And so I got a tattoo and it's infinity.
Ah, looks nice.
And my wife has one matching. Hers is on her left side, mine's on my right side, so that we're a mirror image of each other.
Oh, that's nice.
And what we found is that if you really wanted to put a good ending to this phrase, I am ... infinite is the only word that I've ever found that encompasses what you really are. Because you're not an athlete, you're not a business owner, you're not a parent. Those are the things that you're experiencing. Those are the titles that you may be putting on for that time period of your life. But what you really are is infinite. Because even when people say, I'm happy today, no, you're not. You're experiencing happiness. But if you were truly happy, then you would be happy every moment of the day, which isn't possible. And that's an expectation that just adds way too much pressure to a human being.
Yeah.
Whereas if you say, right now I'm experiencing happiness, that's way more accurate. And it may sound like it's a linguistic thing, but it's really truthful that you are infinite. Sometimes you're going to be angry. Sometimes you're going to be feeling sorry for yourself. Sometimes you're going to feel, and you are in the moment, like a titan, and like nothing can stop you. And when you have that mentality of, I'm infinite, then there doesn't come that guilt when you don't feel like who you're being and what you're doing don't match up perfectly.
Mm. Interesting. What do you think is the most important thing for people to focus on in their life?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is gratitude. And that's a word that sometimes gets thrown around too much today. Mm. Another word is appreciation. When you get to a place where no matter what is happening to you, good or bad, and I look at good or bad this way. Good is the things that we like done to us. Bad is the things we don't like done to us or experiencing.
Sure.
But when you are grateful, it doesn't matter whether good or bad things are happening because you're just like, wow, okay, I'm expanding. I'm going to be an expansion in this moment. And even if it's uncomfortable, you know, I can tell you that a buddy of mine, the best example I can give you is he was sitting on my couch a couple weeks ago and he lives in San Diego and he's such a weather baby. Like if it's at all cold, he cries. And I become a weather baby now that I live in the desert.
Yeah.
But he was like, God, Sean, I'm so jealous of your pain tolerance. Mm. And I said, buddy, don't be, because to have it, you'd have to go through what I have.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you need that. Like you've got a different body and a different life for a reason. And so you have to go through things that I don't, and I have to go through things that you don't. So there's no need to feel like you should have a better pain tolerance, because to get it, you'd have to go through more pain.
Mm.
And it's like when I don't pray for patience, because the universe will step in and do things that will make you patient.
Mm.
Like patience is inevitable if you're living your life.
Yeah.
And so I think that the best thing is the gratitude, just being like, wow, okay. I'm not a fan of this right now, but I know that this is for my highest calling. This is for my greatest good.
Mm.
And what's the lessons here? What do I need to surrender to? What fears do I need to step up to?
Yeah.
And when you have that mentality of gratitude, what happens is you get more.
Mm.
The people that are not grateful, they may have acquired a lot of stuff, but they never feel like they own anything. They never feel like they have anything, because it's never enough. When you're grateful, whatever you have is enough for you.
Yeah.
So yeah, gratitude is probably my biggest thing that I'm experiencing these days. That's what's hot on my mind.
What's your thoughts on unconditional love?
I don't know if it's possible.
Mm.
It may be when you have a child and like you're a woman and you press it out of your vagina and like this beautiful little hunk of mass is like looking at you in the eyes and you would do anything for it. Maybe that is. I'm not a woman, nor do I have kids, so I don't know that. But I certainly don't believe that. I think it's a great expectation. I think it's great. I think it's a great like goal. But truthfully, we all have conditions in our lives, especially in our love relationships. You know, to be like, oh, I love my wife unconditionally. Really? I don't know if that's true, because if they start cheating on you or they start stealing from you or they, at some point you're going to like not be a fan. Right. And so I get from a spiritual perspective, unconditional love means you love everyone from no matter what they do to you. And that's beautiful from a high level picture. But from an actual day-to-day perspective, I think our love's very conditional. I think it's a matter of being clear on what your conditions are. Like, what do you need to feel loved? You know, whether it's talking about the love languages or whatever it may be. But yeah, I think that's a nice snazzy word to use, but I think it's also setting us up for a failure.
Yeah, that's true.
And a letdown. And as I've gotten older, Lewis, in my 30s now, which is not that old, but, you know, I feel like I've lived a long life up to this point. And I look at it this way. I want to set Sean up to win. You know, so one of the things that I'm trying to do, or not even trying, really put my heart into, is not comparing myself to others. God, that's so hard. That's so hard because, you know, if I looked at, you know, what you're doing or what you've done, and I'm like, well, I've never done that, and, you know, shoot, I would be happier if I had what Lewis had. And not necessarily, you know, and to compare yourself leads to despair. Yeah. You know, it sounds all cheesy that compare leads to despair, but it's true. No human being is better or worse than another. We just play the, game like we are.
Yeah.
One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am, or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. When you get a new car or a new home, your first reaction might be to say things like, oh yeah, or I can't believe it, or booyah. But what you really want to say is the one thing that can get you the help you need. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm is there with the coverage you need for your car, your home, and even boats, motorcycles, RVs, and other things that matter to you. With a State Farm agent, you know someone is there to help you choose the coverage you need. With so many coverage options, it feels good knowing you can find what fits for you. And when you need ways to get help, State Farm gives you options there too, in person or on the phone with your local agent, or on statefarm.com, where their award-winning app State Farm lets you do things your way. So when you need help protecting the things that matter most, remember to say, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. When you want the best, you have to act quickly, or someone else will get it instead. Like when you're trying to buy tickets for the best seat at your favorite team's big game, or when you're hiring for your business and you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. With ZipRecruiter, you can find qualified candidates fast. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it.
And I believe finding the right team member is one of the most important steps in setting up my company for success. We like to ensure our new hires will be a good fit before they're even on the team. So I am grateful that I have ZipRecruiter's help when we want to grow the team fast. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Okay, so let's move aside from unconditional love and go to acceptance or non-judgment.
Sure. I think...
Is that possible?
I think it's human to judge.
Mm.
I really do. I think that being aware of judgments is important, though. Because if you find yourself judging, that's maybe a moment to like step back and be like, whoa. Because we only judge another human being because we're judging ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, and the whole unconditional love thing, to just tie it into this, is you can't give to another what you won't give to yourself first. And that sounds so overused in the personal growth realm, but it's true. Like, you can't fully love a person to the depths of your soul if you won't give yourself that love.
Mm-hmm.
You can't fully trust another human being if you don't fully trust yourself. Mm. You can't fully accept another human being if you don't accept yourself. Anytime there's something more I want to give to the planet, I first have to give it to myself.
It's true.
And so judgment, I have a lot of friends that like are very earthy and like I call them my namaste buddies, you know, and they're all like, John, I don't think it's a good idea for you to judge. And I'm all like, maybe not, but I'm human. And so, like, I have an ego just like I have a soul.
Mm.
And I'd rather set myself up to win and say, you know, sometimes I'm going to judge. And you know what I'm going to judge? When I haven't been taking care of myself.
That's true.
When I've been treating myself pretty shitty, I'm going to naturally treat you like shit. And I'd rather be honest about that.
Yeah.
And so is judgment... is non-judgment possible? Theoretically, for short bursts of time. But if you're human and you're uncomfortable and you've not been taking care of yourself, it's going to be easy to judge because you're going to judge yourself first.
That's true. I like it. I like it. So I want to move into the speech you gave at Summit Series, which was about how to leave people breathless.
Mm.
And this was a very inspiring, moving presentation or share with me. And I really loved what you had to talk about. So I wanted to dive into that a little bit.
Sure.
And
what specifically?
Yeah, I want to dive into anyone. For anyone. It doesn't have to be business people or giving a speech.
Sure.
But how to leave anyone breathless. Again, whether you're in the board meeting, whether you're in one-on-one with someone, your lover, whatever it may be, what are some ways that you can connect on a level that literally has people like gasp and leave them breathless?
It's
what is it all about? What does it entail?
Yeah, it's brutal vulnerability.
Mm.
And I don't mean brutal in like a barbaric way. I mean like in a or maybe it's a better word is courageous vulnerability.
Yeah, I like that.
Because it's laying down your arms, laying down your weapons and saying, like, here's who I really am, and here's what I really want to do, and here's what I really feel. And some of it's not going to be pretty, and some of it's not going to be tied up neatly with a bow, and some of it is going to seem shallow, and some of it's going to seem profound, but really this is where I'm at. And you leave a human being breathless when you're willing to show them all sides to you, even if they judge you, you know, like knowing that they probably will judge you, but it's better to be so incredibly authentic that another human being is inspired to be authentic themselves. You know, when we had that talk and, you know, you were one of the people that stood up, but there was also someone else that stood up that, when I was asking them about like that courageous vulnerability, she was like, I haven't talked to my father in years, and I miss my relationship with my dad. And I don't know if I need closure or what I need, but I haven't spoken to my father in years, and I don't have the relationship with him. And man, that was like, it rung like a bell, didn't it? You know, like the whole room was just like, whoa. And it raised the bar, right? Mm-hmm. It was like, holy cow, like, this is some serious honesty. And it's true, like, I had a moment recently, I talked about it on my podcast, where I had a moment recently with my wife where I came to her and admitted something to her that I'll tell you that was really hard to admit.
Mm.
So my wife loves to hike, like go hiking in the mountains. And I'm not really built for hiking.
Mm.
You know, I'm more like the Ferrari. Ferraris can't go off-road, you know? Like, I am great on the streets. I'm great in a nice, you know, showroom. But I'm not built for off-road, really. And yet, I wanted desperately to be able to enjoy hiking with her. So I had a buddy strap me to his back and, like, in a like a carrier case behind him. And, like, I was pushing to try to hike with my wife. And she was just like, why do you have to do this with me? Like, why are you so attached to this?
Mm.
And I, to give you the moment that I admitted something to her. So when I'm at home, I have this backpack on my wheelchair. That's a little backpack that I put like these reacher sticks in that if I drop something, I can pick it up. But the backpack is actually a hiking backpack that you put a bladder in for water, like a camelback. And I kind of confiscated it from my wife, and, it was her favorite backpack that she would go hiking with. And for the last maybe like 3 years of our relationship, out of the 4 years that we've been together, I've kind of jokingly, commandeered this backpack. And, you know, I said, well, I'll get you another backpack, blah, blah, blah. Well, one afternoon I was sitting with myself in meditation and I'm like looking at that backpack going, you know what you're doing to her? You're holding something that she loves as a visual metaphor hostage.
Mm.
You're being cold and you are being calculated. Even if it's unconsciously, you are trying to block her from going hiking. You can tell her all you want to go hiking, but by holding back on this backpack, you're really silently protesting.
Mm.
And like God,
being passive aggressive.
Yeah, like, totally passive aggressive. I was being a little shit. And, and when I came aware of that, my heart sunk. And I was like, wow. And my heart sunk for two reasons. One, that what kind of lover and friend and partner was I being for her? But two, like, I was in more pain about it than I realized. And my heart sunk for me. Like, wow, buddy, like, you need some love, don't you?
Yeah.
You know, self-love, like some connection to yourself. And I investigated, like, what is it about hiking that was really bugging me? And it wasn't just because I couldn't go hiking with her. I'll go even deeper. It was because I was thinking, and my voice is cracking because I'm embarrassed admitting it, is what if she's hiking on a trail and she meets a Lewis Howes kind of guy who's in great shape and, you know, can climb, you know, mountains in a single bound. And and she's thinking, gosh, he's intellectual, he's funny, he's nice, he's all the things that my husband is, but he can go hiking with me. And I felt like I'm not there to kill the guy. You know, I'm not there to like protect my woman and like, you know, stand my territory, you know? And I was like, wow, okay, so let's look at that.
Because
that's a big insecurity. And it's certainly holding you back from being closer to your wife and being closer to yourself because it's feeling like you're not enough, which is probably the greatest pain of all, is that you're not enough. And I sat with him and I'm like, well, if your wife goes hiking and she meets a burly dude who's all these other things that you think you are, in addition to the physical side that you don't feel you are, and she chooses to be with you, there's nothing you can do to stop that.
Mm.
And if you try to block it, you actually might cause it.
What you resist persists.
Exactly. So I'm like, you know, I love my wife enough that I don't want her to be with me if she's miserable. So just like when you love something, you hold it with open hands. You don't squeeze it tightly.
Mm.
And so I said to my wife when I brought that backpack to her, she didn't react at first the way I wanted her to. I wanted her to be like, oh, sweetie, that you worked through a lot to like admit this and wow and thank you.
No.
She was like, well, what took you so long to learn this? And why have you been holding my backpack hostage?
Oh my
she was
gosh.
Hurt.
Wow.
You know, and I just held the ground because she had every right to react that way. And I just looked at her and I said, I know, sweetie. And, you know, literally 5 minutes later, she came back and we were hugging and like she got it, you know, that I had to work through a lot to get to that point and how hurt she was, you know. And I said to her, look, I get now that this is an insecurity that goes so much deeper than hiking. This is me not feeling like I'm enough for you. Mm. And I'm working on that myself, you know, with all these, you know, I had a doctorate in clinical hypnosis. I've gone through personal growth after personal growth. I read so many friggin' books at this point, and I'm still uncovering layers of insecurity.
Right.
You know, so it's not like you arrive and you become an expert and you just like get it, you know. It really more of is a case of like, you're just going to find another layer. It's like an onion, another layer, another layer, another layer. And I said to my wife, you know, if you find this guy on this trail that you need to be with him, you need to go. And she just started crying and she goes, you don't get it, silly man. I go, what? And she goes, if I wanted a guy to go hiking with, I wouldn't have married a 3-foot-tall guy in a wheelchair. I'm an introvert, you fool. And I like to do this shit by myself.
Ourself alone.
alone. And if I had a guy that could do it with me, he would want to go do it with me. And I would have to come up with stupid excuses why he couldn't. And I'd have to sneak out when he wasn't around to go hiking.
Right.
And she's like, you know, I would have picked that guy. I didn't pick that guy for a reason.
Hmm.
And I'm like, oh, you know, a little slow learner here. So I believe to leave somebody breathless, you need to have that courageous vulnerability where you're willing to tell them, I am struggling with being human, and here's how I am dealing with it. And you just share that openness. And I think when we do that with people, if they're ready, they lose their breath for a moment because they go, whoa, I could do that. You know, I could be that vulnerable. And what would my life look like if I was that vulnerable? And it's funny, by letting people know your weaknesses, they see you as stronger. It's very counterintuitive. Because when you only lead with your strengths, people don't trust you. Because everybody's got strengths. And we would put them up front. We put our best foot forward. But what about things, they're not really weaknesses, but like they're perceived weaknesses, you know? Our shortcomings, our vulnerabilities, our frailties, you know, our fragileness. And when you're willing to say, like, here's where I'm still working on myself, people are like, wow, Lewis, that, I get that, and I hear you. But when you just want to share your strengths, people aren't left breathless. They end up kind of not trusting you.
So would you say vulnerability is one of the most powerful qualities you can have?
I think it's certainly one of the most powerful qualities to help you connect with another person. Because human beings, we want to know what people are really all about so we can trust them. We want to know their agendas. And when somebody only shows us the strengths and their winnings, then we're like, but yeah, that's a part of who you are, but there's more. There's your disappointments, there's your failures, there's your mistakes, there's your times when you tripped, fell, and hit your head. Like, well, show me your boo-boos,
right.
You know? Show me your owies, your ouchies, you know? And when we're kids, we show people our boo-boos.
Yeah.
We go, oh, look at my skinny knee, you know? Will you kiss it? Like, look at what I did over here. Look where I ripped my jeans. But as adults, we get to the point where we're like, oh, well, no, I'm fine. I don't have any scars.
Yeah.
But we do. We do have scars.
Now, how does someone become vulnerable when they've been conditioned for years and years to hold it in, stuff it down?
Like an athlete or a badass?
Put on a mask,
yeah.
And act like everything's fine. Or even like, you know, a mom who's always got to put it together.
Yeah.
And keep it together for the family, for
business
the kids,
owner,
anyone.
Yeah.
They got a team of people. They always got to be leading, supportive, like they're under control.
Sure.
When for really they're in a lot of pain,
yeah.
And hurting significantly. What are some things that we can do on a daily or weekly or monthly practice to open up and be vulnerable? But and also, is there too much vulnerability?
Well, I don't know if there's too much vulnerability. There's times when you air your dirty laundry, and that's not the same as vulnerability. Airing your dirty laundry is where you just tell everybody every mistake you've ever made and like you almost want pity, you know, like, oh, look at what a train wreck I am. That's not vulnerability.
That's being a victim.
That's That's deriving pleasure out of telling people your pain.
Right.
And that's different.
To get significance right. and recognition.
Vulnerability
and
is like, hey, here's who I really am. Will you still love me? Mm. You know? And those are the best relationships, whether they're in business, romantic, friendships, family. It's like, here's who I really am, Lewis. You still love me?
Mm.
You know, I did this, this, and this when I was in college, and I'm not proud of it. Mm. Do you still love me? Do you, you know, I made sure to tell my wife every dark, evil secret of mine that I could before we got married, because I basically was like, I would tell her something, and then be like, do you still love me? And she'd be like, yes, fool. I mean, I'm not happy that you did that, but okay. And it was very important to me that she knew all of me before we got married. Because if she could love me knowing all of me, then I knew I was safe.
Mm.
So what can we do to be more vulnerable? We have to go to the places that scare us inside of ourselves and face them first before we share them, you know? And I look at it like, have you ever gone snorkeling?
Yeah, it's a little scary.
Yeah, okay. Well, have you ever been scuba diving?
No, I'm a little intimidated by it, okay. Actually.
So, well, that's good. This is a perfect metaphor. So what's the difference between snorkeling and scuba diving, physically?
Snorkeling, you're just on top of the water, and you go down and come back up for air.
Yeah.
And scubas, you're completely relying on the air tank.
Yeah, it's complete trust in that valve. And yeah. So most people want to live in a snorkel world.
Mm.
They want to just, and I don't blame them because it's not as dangerous. It's not as scary. Most of the fish are really colorful and beautiful on the surface. Mm. They're very shiny. They're flashy. And you're not really in danger because you can just basically pick your head up at any time.
Right.
And that's where most people want to live. They want to snorkel through life. And if that's what's meant for them, then that's fine. But I'm a scuba diver at heart, you know, metaphorically speaking. And when you dive deep, the pressure is a lot more.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a lot more dangerous in terms of what you'll find, you know, and it's darker, right? And when you're scuba diving, the creatures at the bottom of the ocean aren't as pretty as the surface. And I look at it like back in the day is, you know, I wanted to live on the surface. You know, it's like, I want the nice car. I want the model-looking woman. I want the big house. I want the snorkeling fish stuff. And then as I got older, I was like, no, you know what? There's nothing wrong with that, but I want to be a scuba diver. I want to go to the depths of humanity. I want to find what scares me and go do those things. And the scariest stuff is never outside of you. It's always inside of you.
Mm.
It's facing those insecurities. It's sharing what you're afraid of with other people. It's sharing what you want to do, but you're afraid you might not be able to make it happen. It's telling the world your big, hairy, scary goals, even if they're like, how the hell are you going to inspire 100 million people? Really?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and yet facing the stuff that's in the depths of our soul, that's where the juice is, because those things can take a lot of pressure and still keep ticking.
Mm.
You know, those little creepy crawlers at the bottom of the ocean that we think are ugly are actually powerful and beautiful. And in their own right, they have a lot to teach us. And so when it comes to vulnerability, I really think about snorkel versus scuba. And do you want to just be shallow and live on the surface of life? Or are you willing to dive deep? And it starts with yourself.
And there's a lot of creatures down there that you can never see on the surface.
No, and they have a lot of value. In fact, they say that the much of the ocean we've not even explored yet.
Yeah.
And the same thing with ourselves.
Mm.
Just like the universe. I mean, everything, it's like the microscope telescope. You know, what's more amazing? You know, the microscope and looking as deep into the cell structure as possible and down into like the quantum quarks and things? Or is it the telescope and looking out into the vast array of galaxies, you know? I think it's the same damn thing. It's infinite, you know? It's the same thing. And the same thing with, you know, external versus internal. That you will find more about life going inside than you'll ever do chasing external. You know, I love George Carlin. Before he passed away, he said, you know, that if you try to seek happiness externally, it's like stapling sandwiches to your body and thinking you'll no longer be hungry. It's not going to happen.
That's hilarious. Yeah. That's a good one. Wow. So what's your vision, Sean?
Well, the big, hairy, scary one is I want to rid the world of insecurity. And another way of saying that in the positive is I want to reach as many people as are willing to listen to me and learn from me, or learn with me, I guess, on how to feel secure in your own skin and know that you're enough. You're enough for just who you are. You don't need any more, do any more. There was a period where I felt like I needed more degrees. You know, I got a doctorate, for God's sakes. You know, I needed more research. I needed more intelligence. I needed more references. No, I didn't. That was just for my ego. Truthfully, I was helping people every step of the way and still will. So my vision is to really... to die leaving a body of work that humanity can continue to ease their suffering with generations after I'm gone. Because I don't want statues erected in my name. What I want, although I wanted that at one time, what I want is a body of work where it helps people and maybe my name even fades from it. You know, that's when you really get into serious shit, is what would you do for the planet if no one knew you did it, but it made it a better place?
That's ego-less right there.
That's ego-less, and it ain't fun. You know, the ego is what makes us drive for more.
The recognition.
The recognition, the significance, the attention. But and I don't think there's anything wrong with the ego. I just think that it won't take us as far as the soul.
Yeah, interesting. I like the vision, man. What well, it's also interesting you said that about like research and having degrees and things like that, because some of the most powerful people in the world have the biggest hearts and don't have any education.
Totally. Mother Teresa, you know, I mean, she was doing what she did with no money, no education. I mean, to my knowledge, she didn't have much of an education, but I sat at dinner a couple of years ago with a room full of entrepreneurs. And I was a doctor, and they were all high school dropouts, and their net worths dwarfed mine. Yeah. And not that that matters, but what was funny is I felt overqualified for success. Like, I had all these degrees, they had none, and they were just pulling the trigger. My wife and I have something we call it PTFT, pull the blank and trigger. Because in life, there's so often that we're like, well, should I do this? Should I not do this? And what I love about studying masculinity is all about being decisive. That what is very attractive about masculinity, even amongst men, take away the sexuality of it, just masculinity at its core, both in women and men, is being decisive, making a decision and not second-guessing yourself. That is true masculine. Feminine is about creativity and receiving and allowing into your reality things and flowing. You know, I love when you study history in terms of art history. Ultimate masculinity is represented in art as death. It's the pure presence. It's the, I mean, nothing is more decisive than death, right? And life is represented with femininity as the sun, you know, the sun in the sky. It's like the rays, the beams, the heat, the light, the creation of light, and how the feminine is about creation. And so you bring decisiveness with creation, and you have conception of anything. Conception of an idea, conception of a baby, conception of a thought, you know? And what I love about studying masculine and feminine energies is we need both inside of all of us.
Yeah. That's true. Would you say the perfect man, or the idea of a perfect man, is being able to use both masculine and feminine at all times, or being able to dance with it back and forth?
Yeah, I think the perfect man knows when to be what, you know? You can't be totally alpha masculine 100% of the time, or you'll be exhausted.
Yeah.
Because it's the feminine that nurtures you back.
Yeah.
And you can't be 100% feminine, because then you'll just have a million ideas and not get shit done.
That's true. never take action.
You never take action. You never kill.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, we use that term, and it's a scary word, kill, because it means the loss of something, right? The ending of something. And when it comes to human life, it's not necessary. I get that. But there's so many things in our life that we need to kill off. Mm. We need to kill bad ideas. We need to separate ourselves. Decisive means it's an incision. It's cutting off from everything else. And, you know, I am continuing to study my inner killer, you know, because we are only alive because other people killed to keep us alive, killed animals that were trying, enemies, you know, all these things. And we live in a very soft society today, at least in America, where like everybody wants to accommodate everybody else. Mm. And so we try to be politically correct. We try to be very kind. And I think that has its place, and that's amazing. But there's sometimes where you need to be a warrior. There's sometimes where you need to be like, no, I'm not cool with this. This is not cool. This is not acceptable to me. And you need to stand in your power.
Yeah.
And that's scary to a lot of people.
Mm. That's true. Well, what's up with your new show?
So my new show is called Recharge with Sean Stevenson.
Love the name.
Thank you.
Perfect.
Thank you. Because I've been in social media now for probably going on 4 or 5 years. And in social media, people follow me on Twitter and Facebook and all those, you know, terms. But really what they're doing is they're coming to recharge. They're feeling overwhelmed by life. And they want to get recharged. They want to get an insight that will help them struggle less. They want to get a comment that makes them smile or laugh or think or even cry a tear that they've been holding back.
Mm.
And that, and I think crying can be recharging.
Oh,
I think yelling can be recharging. Yeah. I think laughing can be recharging. And so, you know, when people tune into my show, I want to help them recharge by giving them insights that are not from me, but through me, that I'm using and learning myself to charge up their batteries. You know, your cell phone, my cell phone, at the end of the night needs to be charged up again. And yet we won't allow ourselves to recharge. We're like, oh no, I need to have a perfect battery at all times. No, you're gonna get drained, and that's why you need to go to things that are healthy to recharge. Because unhealthy things won't recharge you. They'll spark you. They'll give you a spark of energy, but they end up draining you faster over the long haul.
Yeah.
And so I really want to be an outlet for people to really think about their health, their wealth, and their relationships so that they're able to recharge and they're able to get up the next day and go at it again with a smile on their face.
Mm.
So that's what the show's about.
I love it. And you just launched it recently. It's at SoundCloud/Sean Stevenson. So make sure to go check that out over there. I love it. And you've got a few episodes already. You'll be doing it weekly, right?
Yep.
So you can subscribe to him there. And what else you got going on? I know you're speaking all over the world, traveling.
Yep.
Sharing the message and the vision.
I'm really working on a love for work. Because I got to tell you, I am the opposite of a workaholic. I'm a relaxaholic. I'm a lazy bastard. And I mean that both jovially and that's even a word, and also just sincerely, I love just sitting around and doing nothing.
Mm.
Sitting by my pool with my Kindle and reading with my wife. You know, making a good meal and walking around my house naked and like trying to see when my wife is willing to give me a little loving, you know, like I love being a very simple guy, you know, and I don't get a kick out of locking myself into a room and working for 3 months on a project and not coming up for air.
Mm.
I'm not a fan of that.
Yeah.
And I want to see why I'm not a fan of that, because for years I looked at that as like, I would have all these therapy clients coming into my office, and they were successful entrepreneurs and celebrities that were burned out. And I went, I don't want that.
Mm.
And to the extreme, where sometimes I haven't been badass enough and really stuck to things and pushed to create more and to get that body of work to be bigger out there. And so I'm really, I'm finding that healthy balance between relaxing, enjoying, and getting shit done. Mm. Because I usually gravitate towards the relaxing. And so at times in my income, I'll make a bunch of money and then I'll lay off the accelerator. And then I'll make a bunch of money because I need to pay the bills and like I want stuff and I want to go do fun stuff and then I'll lay off. And so my career and my income have been very slam on the accelerator, slam on the brake, slam on the accelerator, slam on the brake. And it's not a fun ride. It's too jerky. And as I've matured, I've realized that's not healthy. There's no balance there. Mm. And so now I'm in the space where it's like, ease on the accelerator, let off the accelerator, ease on the accelerator. Like, there's no need to slam on the brake, slam on the gas. That was my 20s. And now in my 30s, I want to really figure out how to enjoy the acceleration and not feel it. I'm a very black and white person searching for my gray.
Mm.
You know, because I'm an all or nothing kind of guy for the most part.
Right, right.
And that's served me well. I've done a lot of cool shit, but yeah. I've been in the black. But when I'm in the white, I get nothing done, you know? And so my wife is very gray. She has an ability to be very comfortable with not having to do it all or not having to do nothing. Mm. And that's what I'm learning from her. Mm. So that's where I'm at now.
Love it. Well, we're going to end with the final question, which is, what is your definition of greatness?
I mean, there's a million, like, queued up answers that I don't want to say.
From your heart.
Yeah, from my heart. It's, are you having fun?
Mm.
Greatness is, are you making a life that's fun for you?
Mm.
Because I'm sure a lot of greatness people give up the queued up answers of, like, leaving a legacy, inspiring people, making the world a better place. That was all the shit that was queued up. But my heart's like, come on, man, just have fun. You know, if you create a life that you're having a really, and I don't mean fun in like a cheesy service way, but like a deep, you love the company when you're all alone. You know, that somebody's really hit greatness when they can be all alone and really enjoy the company. And they can be surrounded by people and enjoy the company. Mm. Like, can you walk through every moment and have fun? Like that level of greatness. I want to be around somebody that's that way. More than I do somebody who's rich, more than somebody who's famous, more than somebody who's accomplished a lot of shit. I want to be around people that, man, it's like whatever they're doing, they're having a fun time at it.
Mm.
Gosh, I want to surround myself with those people.
I love it. Well, the next time you're in LA, which is probably next year, we'll have to come back on. Maybe it's a different definition then.
Yeah.
Sean Stevenson, SeanStevenson.com, and all over Twitter at the Sean Taraj.
Mm-hmm. I'm in the Twitter at the Sean Taraj, and I'm in Facebook. I mean, if you just Google me, you'll find me.
Yeah. Check them out.
Yeah.
And also, there'll be all the show notes over at SchoolOfGreatness.com. We'll put a video of you up there and, we'll post a picture of me and you on Instagram now so everyone can check
Lewis,
it out.
Hey, thanks for doing what you do, man.
Thank you.
I know that you're doing some cool shit, and I appreciate the fact that you're breaking down your stereotypes.
Mm.
Because so many people probably really have put you in a box.
Mm.
And the fact that you've, like, really taken yourself out of that box, it's inspiring.
Thanks. It's been my goal to break down stereotypes my whole life, so that's one of my missions.
Cool.
To break that down, definitely for myself and the way I look at other people as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a constant progress.
Absolutely.
And opportunity to look inside and see where the mirror is in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate it. Thanks for acknowledging that.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah. Thanks, bro. And I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. If you did, please head over to the show notes over at lewishiles.com, or you can check out schoolofgreatness.com as well and check out all the notes, the videos, the updates from this episode over there. A lot of great stuff happening over on the site. And be sure to check out all the previous shows as well. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends on Twitter and Facebook or Google+, and spread the word. Spread the word about School of Greatness. It's been amazing. We've been featured on the homepage of iTunes recently. We've been featured on Stitcher, SoundCloud, and all these other platforms are picking up a School of Greatness because of what you guys are talking about. And, you know, you guys are the ones that are driving this
energy. I think it was in the top 50 in overall podcasts and iTunes recently as well, above Joel Osteen and a bunch of other amazing leaders in the world. So you guys are the ones who are pushing this forward, and I appreciate all the support. I'm going to keep bringing you the top guests in the world, and it's your job to keep listening and sharing the word. So I appreciate you. Also, go ahead and post a picture on Instagram, wherever you are in the world. Just go ahead and take a quick pic and tag me at Lewis Howes over there and tag hashtag School of Greatness so I can see where all you guys are in the world listening to the podcast. It's a lot of fun to see those every single day over on Instagram. And with that, guys, you know what time it is. It's time to go out there and do something epic and be great.
At Metro, get an iPhone 12 with 5G and a dual camera system for $99.99. Take amazing pictures and share them instantly. And don't put up with life's yada yada.
Yada yada.
Like photo bombers. Zoom, crop out,
yada yada,
and bye.
You don't take yada yada in life, don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Get iPhone 12 with 5G with no activation fees and nada yada yada. Only at Metro by T-Mobile. Switch to Metro, bring your ID. This offer isn't available for customers currently at T-Mobile or that have been with Metro in the past 180 days.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I've learned the hard way that constantly holding on to your emotions and repeatedly choosing to not talk about your feelings will only make you feel worse and worse. And up until about 10 or 11 years ago, I was afraid to talk about my trauma that I experienced. And I know we all carry around different stressors, big and small. And when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. But therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to fit your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Lewis today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/L-E-W-I-S.